Listening Library presents Remember Us. This is the author, Jacqueline Woodson. For Kwame and Jason, brothers from other mothers. After the year of fire, vines rise up through the rest of our lives of smoke, of flame, of memory, as if to say, we're still here, as if to say, remember us. One. The moon is bright tonight and full, hanging low above the house across the street, where an orange curtain blows in and out of my neighbor's window. Out and in. And past the curtain, there's the golden light of their living room lamps. Beyond that, there is the pulsing blue of their television screen. I see this all now. I see a world continuing. And in the orange and gold and blue, I'm reminded again of the year when sirens screamed through my old neighborhood and smoke always seemed to be billowing somewhere. That year, from the moment we stepped out of our houses in the morning till late into the night, we heard the sirens. Down Knickerbocker, up Madison, across Cornelia, both ways on Gates Avenue, down Ridgewood Place, rounding the corners of Putnam, Wilson, Evergreen. Evergreen. Sometimes a word comes to you after time has passed, and it catches you off guard. Evergreen. The name of a family of trees, and the name of a block in Brooklyn. Evergreen. Another way of saying forever. That year, nothing felt evergreen. Palmetto, a word that has never left me, a word that in my mind is evergreen. Palmetto, the name for both a stunning tree and an oversized cockroach. Palmetto was also the name of a street in my old neighborhood. And that year, Palmetto Street was burning. Two. That was the year when, one by one, the buildings on Palmetto melted into a mass of rock and ash and crumbled plaster until just a few walls were left standing. Walls that we threw our balls against and chased each other around. And at the end of the day, when we were too tired to play anymore, they were the walls we simply sat down by and pressed our backs into, staring out over a block that was already, even as we stared at it with our lips slightly parted and our hands shielding the last of the sun from our eyes, almost gone. We said, well, nothing lasts for always, right? We said, one day even the whole earth will disappear. We were just some kids making believe we understood. But we didn't. Not yet. We didn't understand the fires, our life, or the world. But we knew that neighborhood was our world. And we knew our world was burning. Three. That was the year of Freddie, too. Four. Freddie moved into the corner building on Palmetto Street, right where it was sliced through by a small block called Ridgewood Place. The brick houses on Ridgewood Place felt like they came from another time. Each house was just as perfect as the one beside it. The cars parked out in front of the houses were undented and shining. We didn't understand how the people who lived on Ridgewood Place got such nice houses and fancy cars. but we understood why their brick houses remained standing long after the wooden houses on Palmetto Street had burned to the ground. So we slitted our eyes as we walked past the houses on Ridgewood Place, jealous because the kids who lived inside that brick didn't have to worry about how quickly flames flew. And we slitted our eyes because we knew they didn't have to sleep with their robes and shoes at the foot of their beds. We knew if those kids woke up in the middle of the night, it was only to go to the bathroom or climb into their parents' bed during a thunderstorm. 5. Hey, girl. The first time I ever talked to Freddie was the day he called to me from his window. I had been dribbling my basketball through my legs as I walked up the block, but stopped to see who was yelling. It was summer, and the one tree on Palmetto Street was in front of his building. That's what I remember now, looking up at Freddie through all that green. Hey yourself, I yelled back. Where's the park at? What park? My dad said there was a park around here somewhere, with hoops. I shrugged. I don't know anything about some park, I said. But you got a ball. So? A hot wind came out of nowhere and trembled the leaves. I didn't want to be yelling in the street up at some kid's window, and something about that wind made me feel a way. So I gave a little wave, then broke into a jog toward the park. 6. Freddie showed up at the basketball courts the next day anyway. We eyed each other. He was a little shorter than me and skinny. He was light-skinned with a short, messy afro that needed an afro pick, and his eyes kept changing colors depending on how the sun hit them. First, the darkest blue I'd ever seen, then gray, then that darkest blue again. Thought you didn't know where the park was at, he said. I shrugged. You found it anyway, so no big deal. Who got next? He asked. I said, what's your name? Freddie, he said. I just moved to Palmetto Street. You got next now, I guess, Freddie from Palmetto Street. A guy from the other team said, that block is burning down, son. Who's doing it? Freddie asked. Who knows, the guy said back. Something or somebody. Well, not my house, Freddie said. Everywhere, I said, the whole neighborhood, but mostly your block. Not my house, Freddie said again. He looked off then, toward the sound of the sirens, toward Palmetto Street. We were playing 2-on-2, me and this guy named Randy and two guys from Putnam Avenue who thought they had game but didn't. Me and Randy were winning. I had been playing ball since I was a little kid. My mother said the minute I could hold a ball with two hands, I was looking for a game. Most days, the only place I wanted to be was on the basketball court. I dribbled the ball, shot it, watched it sink into the basket. A guy on the other team cursed. Randy slapped my hand, said, "Nice shot, Sage." I was the only girl on the court, always. The only girl in a basketball shirt and high tops, the only girl who pulled her hair back into a braid every day of every year, no matter what, and one of the best players in the park. The guys who played there regularly knew me and always chose me first when they were putting teams together. Basketball was the thing I loved most in the world, more than candy or cartoons, more than roller skating or roller coasters. I felt ball in every part of my body, my feet, my knees, my hands and arms, my head too. How many times had I gotten into trouble for sitting in class imagining a slam dunk or a stutter step dribble around a player to the basket? Score. Too many. All I wanted was to be around anyone who wanted to talk about Bob.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?